1-877-529. That was Dick Vermeil. You got to get it done that day. That's a guy that learned it the right way, the hard way, in that first Super Bowl, came back and won it for the Rams. Here's Mark Schlereth talking about the two, I think, the two best teams along with San Diego.
You win on the offensive line and you win on the defensive line. And if you win the battle of the trenches, more often than not, you're going to come out ahead on the scoreboard. And you look at the Baltimore Ravens right now. This statistic says it all. In the last five games, 27 sacks for, one sack against. They have sacked their opponent's quarterback 27 times. You put that kind of relentless pressure on a quarterback, and you sack a quarterback that many times, you're going to lead the league in plus-minus differential, which they do. They're plus 15 right now. And you protect your quarterback. Listen, the one thing that people have to understand is this is a game where punting is not a bad thing. That's not penalized. If you can't convert, you can punt, you can play a field position game, and you can get yourself opportunities with a great defense. You've got a chance to win a lot of games, and that's the Baltimore Ravens.
That's the Baltimore Ravens. How do you compare the Baltimore Ravens with the Chicago Bears? Which team has the edge?
Oh, I think Baltimore right now, if I had to pick one of those in a game, I'd go with the Ravens. And part of that is because I like their veteran leadership and their veteran savvy at some pretty key spots. You know, Steve McNair has not been lights out by no means this year. You can find a dozen quarterbacks with better stats. But if you give him the ball with a chance to win and 2 minutes to go, he can get it done. And he has this season. Just to get back to what Schlereth was saying, yeah, I was going to mention that stat, too. That 27-1 ratio is just amazing. And the thing about it, Nick, from a defensive standpoint, it's not just one guy. You know, you got about five or six guys who can get those 27 sacks, and then what that does, even when they don't get the sacks and they get the pressure, it forces people to make bad decisions, and that leads to turnovers. So, yeah.
You got 10 different guys with interceptions is one example.
Yeah. And so it's a fast defense. You know, Ray Lewis told me this earlier this year, Nick, and, I mean, it's a great point. As good as that Baltimore Ravens defense was in 2000, this one, he thinks, is even better. You know, the statistics may not say it, and the statistics are pretty good, but it's built differently. They've got a lot more speed and a lot more athleticism than that unit had in 2000. And so, consequently, they can make even more big plays with, you know, running back interceptions and things like that.
Here's my last question to you as we look at teams that are they're finding a way to be hot when it matters most. Pittsburgh had to win out last year. They did. They end up winning it all. This year, to me, you could argue strongly that it's the Philadelphia Eagles that are most closely resembling the team that was counted out and then finding itself when it matters right at the end.
Yeah, I agree. And I was talking to the Bears GM about that this week. You know, what's your biggest concern going into the playoffs when you're the number one seed? And it is that hot team. Now, they think that they can still become that hot team, but that's what you need right now. You need a winning streak of about four or five games in a row. And if you're Philadelphia, you've already started that. If you're Chicago, yeah, you've won some games, but you haven't exactly dominated. Bill Parcells was talking about it yesterday. He says, hey, you know, at least we're in right now, so we have a chance to all of a sudden catch fire. And that's what a lot of people in all these teams actually are going to be banking on to see what they can do in the playoffs.
Talking with Jared Bell from USA Today, Marv Levy said something about hustle. We've I think, given a bad name to hustle because it's connected with Charlie Hustle, Pete Rose, who actually, I think, is worth a lot. He's a guy that has a lot of insight into what are the essence of champions in any sport. Here's Marv Levy talking about hustle.
I used to have a page in our player's notebook that was titled Hustle, and I won't read it all through right now. But it shows how important we thought it was, and it was really gratifying to hear Mark talk a moment ago about Phil Hansen, who actually, in terms of overachieving, in terms of putting forth effort, I don't know if I've ever seen anyone do it more intensely than that young man. Even the great comeback victory that we won, the greatest comeback in NFL history, when we forged ahead of the Houston Oilers, at the end of the game, he made a tackle downfield after being cut blocked on a screen pass where he pursued and dove and spilled the guy that would have gone ahead with the winning touchdown down about our four-yard line. We were able to prevail. That play is not much remembered. But hustle, wow, is it important. It's what we're trying to build our defense on here. Constant effort, and it's so important.
And that's what reminds me of the Baltimore Ravens. I see it with Chicago when they're playing at their best, this relentless quality which results in these turnovers. What other teams would you say are in the final top three, four, five? I would imagine
San
New Orleans
Diego.
Is one of them. What else? San Diego.
No, San Diego on that defense. And, you know, they won when Sean Merriman was out. But he, you know, his nickname's Lights Out and all that stuff. But he's an electric guy as well. And you can see where that kind of permeates itself throughout that whole defense. That's a team, too, that flies around a whole lot. You know, on the other side, you know, maybe Philadelphia. And their defense has played much better in the past month. Because even, you know, going back to last year, it wasn't the same Jim Johnson defense that we've been used to when the Eagles were winning division titles. And last year they weren't. They had a bunch of injuries. But I think now you got guys like, you know, Brian Dawkins and Jeremiah Trotter and Lito Shepard, and they like to fly around and they're healthy too. So that's another one right now you put in that bunch.
In your article in USA Today, you talk about Lovie Smith. And finishing, we began with Lovie, we'll finish with Lovie. You say that he keeps a blue sport coat that belonged to club founder and coach, the legendary George Papa Bear Halas. Is he going to be keeping a thing called the Vince Lombardi Trophy with him after this season?
Maybe. You know, that's the ultimate goal. And, you know, I asked him about that, and he said he just wanted to have something of, you know, Papa Bear Halas, you know, in his possession. You know, the Bears are still, you know, Virginia McCaskey, Halas' daughter. I mean, it's still in the Halas family, the franchise. And, you know, he's got this coat hanging in his office. I said, hey, Lovie, have you tried the coat on? Have you ever, like, in your own private moments, put that coat on and just kind of, you know, sported it in the mirror? And he started laughing. He says, hey, you know, George Halas was a lot smaller than I was. I couldn't even fit it. But you
even
know,
though he's lost 25 pounds.
Yeah, and even though he's lost 20, that's what I thought. He's like lost 25 pounds. He still can't fit Papa Bear's coat. But, you know, it's a great thing. It just shows his appreciation for the sport, the history, and the franchise. And, you know, he's clearly a guy who, you know, has a lot of things in perspective.
Well, we appreciate your sharing that perspective with us. Jared Bell, we hope we get you on the show next week, and we'll do some more good stuff.
No, I appreciate it, Nick. I'm looking forward to the second season, man. This is what it's all about now.
Yeah, we just set the table. Thanks, bud.
Okay, bud.
Jared Bell, USA Today. Jim Beattie, the best laid plans of men and mice. We talked this morning about Barry Zito going to the Yankees. If Randy Johnson went back to the team where he really did his best with the Diamondbacks, and now Zito is going to San Francisco. What now?
Well, I think Scott Boras this is when Scott is at his best. He wants to get as many teams involved as possible. And if he can get those New York teams involved, he can get another club or two involved. And I think it's, one, money is going to drive it. The other one that we don't know about is what are Barry's preferences. Does he want to stay on the West Coast? He is a West Coast guy. Or does he want to try the big stage in the Big Apple? And we'll have to see how Scott plays this one out.
Well, the website right now on ESPN says that sources told Peter Gammons that Zito has agreed to a 7-year, $126 million contract. So this has happened just in the last hour or two. The deal includes an $18 million option for 2014, a complete no-trade clause, a source told ESPN.com's Jerry Krasnick. So that throws out all of our good stuff about the Yankees and the Mets, but it also restores some shine to the Giants star who had lost Schmidt. So let's go in that direction for a little bit. If Zito comes to San Francisco, to the Giants, how much does that heal the wound left by Schmidt leaving?
Well, it helps out a lot. You know, you just don't know how, when you replace one good pitcher with another good pitcher, how it's all going to play itself out. I think the one thing that's beneficial is that Zito, coming from the American League, going to the National League, I think is an easier transition. I think it's oftentimes when we would take a look at pitchers, we were always a little questionable getting a National League pitcher, bringing him over to the American League. The American League is a tougher. The lineups are tougher, and some of the great stars are tougher, as we've talked about before, the difference in the American League and the National League. So it's going to help out a lot. I think it's a great way to get a little bit younger. Zito only at 28. You know, Schmidt was a little longer in the tooth, so you get a little younger. You get a left-hander rather than a right-hander out there for him, and I think that's a great way to replace it. Dollar for dollar, though, I don't know how that's going to work out for them, though.
Well, the Texas Rangers had offered Scott Boras and Zito 6 years, $87 million. So in one fell swoop, he adds 1 year and $40 million.
Well, I think, you know, when you're a general manager and you're out there making deals for free agents, and when you get involved with pitchers and you start taking a look at throwing 5, 6, and 7 years out there for pitchers, it's very shaky. It can be a very shaky situation and a very risky one. Many clubs will not extend pitchers past 4 years. Right now, you're just trying to get the pitcher. You're trying to make it happen, and throwing an extra year on there kind of makes sense to get the deal done. But in the long run, is it going to be able to pay off for you? It's pretty shaky. Pitching relies on one tool, and that's his arm. And if that goes, unlike a position player, he's not going to be able to do anything else.
Well, on the other hand, you're dealing with a guy that has 173 starts over the last 5 years, which ranks first in Major League Baseball. Interesting stat, too. Zito has made $18 million so far in his career. He'll make that per year in this contract with the Giants.
Well, you're right when you take a look at a guy who's been very durable. But on the other hand, he's been pretty young when he built up a lot of those innings. And how is that going to play out? You've got a 7-year contract when he's 33, 34, and 35. Now, I think the Giants are also taking a look at, listen, we've got Barry Bonds for another year. We've got to do something right now to make this thing work if we're going to win anything. And so they're betting on this year and maybe the next to try to get something done.
Well, I got to give them credit for resurrecting what I thought was a lost year ahead for them. Let's move on to what it means for the Yankees, who most people were saying now, if they lose Randy Johnson, Zito's the perfect guy to fit in, younger. They're going in the direction of younger pitching, younger players. What do the Yankees do now?
Well, I don't know on that one. They're going to have to. I think there's some pitching out there to be had. Some guys that are younger than Randy Johnson, and from what I understand, this was not the genesis of this did not come from the Yankees front office. It more than came from Randy Johnson saying, you know what, I've been here a couple of years, it's been fun, but when you're an older player and you take a look at the things that you value, he's got a World Series ring. I think he probably thought he'd come to New York, grab a World Series ring or two, and then go home. It hasn't worked out that way. Maybe he hasn't enjoyed playing in New York. Maybe he hasn't enjoyed his teammates in New York as much as he did playing when he was in Phoenix area, which is where he makes his off-season home. So maybe he just wants to go home and play out his contract.
I think he just wants to get closer to me. His house is only about a mile from mine there in Paradise Valley. So, but seriously,
you're living in the big rent district there then.
I know, man. I got to watch out for the IRS. They're slamming down my door.
That's why they call it Paradise Valley.
Yep. I think this is a great stroke to have the humility to admit things didn't work out in New York for Randy Johnson. I think he's going to come back and give Jeff Morad, the CEO, and Josh Burns and Bob Melvin a run for their money. I think he's going to give them a push. I think he's going to play better this year. And it certainly is one of the key things that the Diamondbacks have been missing the last couple years to take it to that next level. When we come back, final thoughts about Barry Zito going to the Giants with our good friend Jim Beattie, the fourth of the four Jays. Stay with us.